everybody. Sister Jessica here to extend a warm welcome to all of you joining us for worship today. We've got a lot happening on the Hill, so stay tuned for this week's announcements.
To keep up with all the events that we have in 2024, don't forget to download Zion Hill Church Family's app. It's compatible with all iPhones and Androids. Zion Hill Church family, we're excited to announce that Zion Hill will be sailing to Belize, Mahogany Bay, and Cozumel on June 30th, 2025 on the Carnival Valor. A reminder for those already booked, the second deposit is due by October 31st, and the final deposit is due on March 4th, 2025. If you haven't booked your cabin yet, there's still time. You can visit our travel website at the website located on the screen to secure your spot. We look forward to sailing away with you. Whatever your gifting is, or the area of ministry you're most interested in, we've got a spot for you here at Zion Hill. For those who are interested in serving in one of our many ministries, please contact the church office at 318-704-6900 or complete our volunteer form located on our church website at www.zionhill.com. Join us in congratulating Ian Williams and Trinity Williams. They will be appearing in the Langyap Theater Company's production of The Lion King from August 2nd through August 4th. Don't miss their exciting performance. All Come and See, Youth Building, and Zion Hill logo t-shirts are on sale. If you're interested in purchasing one of these t-shirts or sweatshirts, visit us at our website to place your order. You can scan the QR code located on our screen, or you can make your purchase in the lobby between services. Remember, all proceeds from these sales go directly toward the youth building. Thank you all for your support. Zion Hill's Men's Fellowship Ministry Brothers Keeper meets every third Saturday at 10 a.m. in the Family Life Center. If you're interested in being a part of this ministry, please contact Deacon Lester Tisno at 318-623-0650. Well, that concludes this week's announcements. Now let's get our hearts ready to worship. And until next time, we'll see you at the top.
Highest praise. Clap your hands while you're doing it. We're going to sing an old song this morning. And this song says this. It says, Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want, y'all help me sing it. Say, Jesus is on the main line. Tell God what you want to call him, man, and Jesus. Call him in the morning,
call him up.
Or you can call him in the midnight.
Call him up.
You can call him late.
Call him up.
In the midnight hour.
Call him up.
I got to call him up.
Call him up.
Every time I call him.
Call him up.
He'll see about me.
Call him up.
Call him up.
Call him up.
Try deal.
Try deal.
Try deal.
Try deal.
I got the try
deals.
Try deal.
Try
deal. Try Jesus.
Try Jesus.
Call him up there.
Call him up.
Hallelujah. If anybody can testify that he will come to see about you, just lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because he's sweet. I know. He's sweet. I know. Help me say storm cloud. Storm cloud. May rise. They may rise. And strong wind. Strong wind. May blow. Don't you know that? Tell the world wherever I go, come on, lift those hands.
And my mind.
filled with praise.
And we're not filled with praise.
With the heart of thanksgiving.
With the heart of thanksgiving.
Oh, I will bless thee, O Lord.
And good morning again. Amen. My name is Minister Lily Bead. I'm an associate minister here at Zion Hill. Good morning. We want to welcome you to Zion Hill if you are a first-time visitor. We are very excited and appreciative that you choose Zion Hill to worship at today. If you are a first-time visitor, we also ask you to sign in at the greeters table out front and let them know that you've been here and what your name is and your address, and we will give you a special gift. Amen. Now let us all stand together so we can greet each other. Amen. Stand up. Don't be shy. Walk around and fellowship.
What? Joy divine, I'm leaning on the everlasting God. What a blessed day, what a peace in mind, I'm leaning on the everlasting. Oh yes, I'm leaning, oh I'm leaning, I am safe and secure from the.
Children, because I understand they're going back to school on Thursday, and if you have been watching the news and listen to the news right here locally, not at are there right here. A lot of things are going on with our children in the school, out of school. So I believe prayer for the children is paramount, because the enemy wants to take our children out, and we need to realize that we need to cover our children every day, all day. This is not a sometime thing. We need to lay our children before God all the time. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father God, we come before you this morning, Lord God. We just thank you for the opportunity to come before you once more with praise and thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord God, that you kept us in our right mind all night last night, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the angels on assignment that is surrounding us like a shield. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, I come before you this morning with a special request, God. I'm laying all our children in the surrounding areas, just not our personal children, but all children in this city of Alexandria, Lord God, and the surrounding areas. Father God, we ask you to cover our children with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, we bind the hand of the enemy, Lord God. They come to be a distraction to our children in the name of Jesus. Father God, we bless you, ask you to bless every school door that is open in this area in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you right now, Lord God, that you are going to move on behalf of our children, Lord God. Father God, I ask you to bless the teachers, Lord God. Bless the lunchroom workers. Bless all the caregivers that is around our children daily, Lord God. Father God, I ask you to cover our children's ears, Lord, so they won't hear negative comments about them. Oh God, we just come against the negativity, Lord God, that's going on in the schools, God. We know people don't mean no harm, Lord God, but you said in your words carry power. Father God, let the parents pray over the children before they leave the house in the morning. Cover your children with the blood of Jesus, because the blood still works, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, God. Oh God, we thank you for wisdom and knowledge and understanding of your word, Lord God, so we can apply the word to the children, Lord God, and to the families, Lord God. We thank you right now, Lord God, that you're proving yourself every day to all of us, Lord God. And Father God, we ask you to surround the school with your angels of protection, Lord God, and we just give you glory today, God, and we bless your name, Lord God. We thank you for the man of God that is going to bring the word, Lord God. Give us a listening ear and an obedient heart, God, to follow after your direction, so we will have good success in this land. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, y'all, get your monies together. It's time to bless the Lord, all right? Because he has blessed us to be in this place at this time, amen? Let's not take God's kindness for weakness, oh God. Let us open our eyes and understand that God is blessing us continually, all the time. Whether we deserve it or not, he make a way out of no way for us today. All the time, Lord God. And we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you, God, because you said if we bless you, you will bless us, God. And we thank you, God, that you prove yourself to us daily. And we just give you praise, God. We give you honor today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just thank you right now, Lord God, that you are doing a new thing in our minds. And God, you're opening our understanding, Lord God, so that we can understand to give is to receive. So let us understand these things, God. Your principles work, Lord. And we bless your name today for all that you do for us continually in Jesus' name. Amen. So the ushers come forward.
I got
it flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood, 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 it's the blood.
Praise God. We are grateful, grateful, grateful. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. I want to welcome every one of you to this house of worship. I want to say thank you for allowing us to go away for a few days. Grateful for your prayers and thank you for your support. It was good to be gone for 12 days and just to relax and refresh and read, pray, and strategically plan for next moves. We thank you for the opportunity, and we pray that God will reward you for honoring us. I also want to say thank you to all of our ministers that helped to hold the fort while I was gone. Thanks to Pastor Joseph Nelson, amen, and Pastor Gloria Phillips. What a blessing. I enjoy watching them minister. Thank God for our media department. Anywhere in the world, you can just tune in. It's such a blessing to see that this church is now a global ministry for the glory of God. And to whom much is given, much is required. We appreciate these great ministers of the gospel. Thanks to all of you for showing up. We appreciate you for your faithfulness. I'm also grateful to all of our music department staff. We hosted the State Convention musical right here, and it's a joy just to watch all the singing, and amazingly all they talk about is our media ministry doing their thing on the video walls there. I guess that's the latest thing in ministry now. Even the president of the convention sent me a text message while I'm in Africa showing the displays on the video screen. Somebody put there a big welcome message to the state convention, and that impressed him a lot. He simply said, Zion Hill has left others behind. So now we got to figure a way to bring everybody along. Because if you're leading and nobody is following, you're just walking. But we are grateful that you are buying to the vision that God has given your man of God. And the best is yet to come. We also want to thank you for what you did at our sister church. Our choir was invited to sing over there, and I am informed how the Lord show up and show out. So this is the will of God for us. Everywhere we go, we're not supposed to just participate. I don't raise any of my children like that. You're supposed to win. If you're not going to win, why get in the field? The days of average living is over. To whom much is given, much is required. Amen. God wants us to go into the highways and be fruitful. Meaning, you got to be productive. That's Genesis chapter 2, verse 28. Not only do we have to be fruitful, we are required to multiply. That means if you have Burger King here, you have to have Burger King in Carfax, Burger King in Lecompte, Burger King in Baton Rouge. See, the world understands the Bible. It's the church folks that refuse to believe their own Bible. You're supposed to multiply. Amen. The Bible says you replenish the earth. Amen. Make an impact. There's no place on earth where Microsoft is not being used. See? Bible principles. It says subdue the earth. Take dominion. In other words, don't just get in the game. Win. Amen. To take dominion, to subdue, means be in control. Amen. That's a good formula for business too. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue. So, if you're not going to subdue, then get out of the way. So I am not surprised that our choir went there and take over. Those are the mandates given to this church. That's our brand. Excellence is our brand. Being authentic is our brand. Winning is our brand. We just don't want. And so we are grateful to all of our staffs, the parking lot staff, the greeters, the ushers, our media folks, musicians, sound engineer. Everyone, don't be weary in well doing. There is something God called due season. God has promised that we will reap big harvest if we don't faint. So we are grateful for all that you have done. I also want to say congratulations to those of you that got new automobiles. I'm happy for you. Amen. That's the will of God. That's the church of my dreams. That there be increase. There be progress. That's the will of God. I remember years ago, when we first came to America, we were using floppy disk. Nobody does that anymore. All right? I remember we used reel to reel, VHS. Nobody used that. So, everybody is making progress. The church are the only slow people. They want to continue to do business as usual. And they failed. So, but this church will not be a part of that. Amen. So I'm grateful for your willingness to move forward and to do big things. Don't be afraid to to step out of the water. God is big enough to pay his bills, and God is faithful. All you need to do is look at his record. Amen. That's why Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, he who started the good work in you is able to finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. If God started, you can be rest assured he will finish it. Amen. You know why we know? Because it's Alpha and it's also Omega. He is the beginning and he's the end. He never starts something and don't finish. So calm down, relax, enjoy the ride. Just keep on believing God, not just as a body, but individually in your life. All minds clear? We're going to invite you to stand. Let's sing a congregational song. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 16. Very familiar scripture. The book of St. John. Chapter 3, verse 16. If you find it, please say amen. The word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the giving. Now glorify yourself in the world. Use your servant to proclaim what thus says the Lord. Help our hearing. Help our understanding be glorified in this place. We pray that lives will be touched. Souls will be saved. Needs will be met. Thank you for supplying all of our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you for the anointing. And we pray that your name be magnified in Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject titled, The Gospel in Plain English. My assignment basically is to explain the whole Bible in a nutshell. The gospel in plain English. If you have been studying the word of God, you're going to find out that the Jewish laws have 613 rules. And it was difficult for the people of Israel trying to keep up with all those laws, too many of them. So one day, the Jews approached Jesus Christ. They said, man, this is too many rules. Can you tell us which of these rules is the bottom line? And you will recall Jesus answered them, the bottom line of all the rules is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your spirit, your body. He said, this is the greatest commandment. Everything else rests upon that. So what I'm doing today is to put the entire Bible in just one summary. Today, I will submit to you that the whole Bible rests on this one verse I just read to you. That God loves the world. You can put a period there and go home. But I got to mention to you, back in the Old Testament, God's people, the Jews, they had no concept of God loving anybody. That's never in their thinking. They cannot even conceive a God who loves, not in their mind. They do believe that God speaks. They know of a speaking God. They know of a powerful God. They know and they are aware of a fearful God. They know about a God who is terrifying. They also know of a God who is awesome. But they cannot grasp the idea of a God who loves. Don't think they are very slow, but in their own encounter with God, they are scared of him. They don't see him as love. They are terrified. In fact, they are so scared of God, in their conversation, they never mention his name. In their mind, if you fool around and mention the name of God, he will strike you dead instantly. In their writing, they never write down the name of God. They only use his initials. Why? Because they make sure the name of God is not on their lips, and they make sure the name of God is not on their papers. Why is that? Because they're scared of him. They are terrified of God. Why are they so scared? Their own idea of God is somebody who showed up in lightning. Their own understanding of God is somebody who showed up in the fire. Remember Moses? On Mount Sinai? Take off your shoe. So every time God show up, it's a scary God. He don't play. He's a no-nonsense God. The God that they know is a God that will set a whole mountain on fire. The God that they know is a God that will terrify the whole neighborhood. The God that they know is a God who will walk into a city like Sodom and Gomorrah and set the whole city on fire and burn it down. They know of a God who can shut down the heavens, and for years there'll be no rain. So to them, that's not a dude you want to fool with. He strikes cities, he causes a heartquake, and he will change the weather and destroy a whole nation with flood. To them, this is a horrifying God. This is the same God who gives Samson an honorary jawbone, and one man is able to destroy hundreds of people. This is the same God who show up in a smoke. Every time God will show up, guess what those people do? They fall to the ground. They would never look up. They don't want to eye to eye with God. Oh, no. Not if he's in the neighborhood. They run for cover. They could not conceive of a God who loves. Yet, John 3:16 say, God so loved the world. I come here to suggest to somebody, as a theologian, who've had time to study the word of God carefully, I can tell you from Genesis all the way to Revelation, all you will see, the whole Bible, is about John 3:16. That God is love. The Ark of the Covenant that the Israelites will carry around, all is about John 3:16. Even Noah's Ark, you remember when he built an ark for the saving of his family. Again, it all points to John 3:16. Even David's experience as a shepherd with his sheep is all pointing to the same one verse, John 3:16. Solomon in his wisdom is all about John 3:16. When you read of Daniel in the lion's den, If you really think through what you're reading, it's all about John 3:16. When you learn about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you find out a fourth man that show up in the middle of the fire, it's all pointing to John 3:16. Even when you learn of Jonah in the belly of the whale, you ever been in trouble? I've been there. Trouble on the job. Trouble with the government. Trouble with family. Trouble with friends. Trouble in the community. But there is a God that will bring you out. Jonah was in trouble, but God brought him out of the whale. It all points out to John 3:16. For God loves the world. Ladies and gentlemen, my message to you this morning, if you don't get anything, get this simple kingdom principle that God loves you. I don't care whether you're in jail right now listening to my voice. God loves you. You know, one day, one of my deacons, Deacon McClendon, we went to Angola. And I was just trying to visit the administrator there. I told the deacon, you're going to drive me there. And we were shocked. I'm so glad he came with me. We were shocked how the prisoners were running after me, calling me their pastor. And I've never met them in my whole life. Because they get the essence of this ministry. This is not a ministry that puts people down. This is not a ministry that judges people. This is a ministry who comes to turn and say, God loves you. I don't care if you are locked up in jail. God loves you. I don't care if you're on crack cocaine. God loves you. I don't care you're listening to me right now and you are drunk as you could be. For God loves the world. Religious people have problems dealing with that. They like to judge people. They like to tell you who is in, who is out. But the Bible said, God loves the world. Maybe last night you were at the nightclub. But guess what? God still loves you. Maybe you are shacking up right now. God loves you. Some people come to church sometimes with a hangover. But guess what? God loves you. So remember that when it comes to God, it don't matter what you've done, it don't matter where you've been, it don't matter what anybody say about you, God loves you. Even if nobody knows your name, God loves you. It don't matter if nobody in your family is speaking to you. God loves you. Maybe you're under the sound of my voice and you're catching hell on your job. I want you to know that God loves you. Even when church people are mean and cruel, you need to know in your knowing that God still loves you. Please take note, when I say God loves you, it's not because you merit the love of God. It's not because you are so righteous. God didn't love you and me because we are so holy. Even when we fall down, even when we screw up, God still loves us. Even when we're acting a fool, I've been there. God is still love. When we messed up and we lied and we vowed unto God and did not keep our words, God still loves us. And for those of you whose back is against the wall, the Lord sent me to tell you, God still loves you. Even when your friends are few, and your money is funny, and your credit is jacked up, if you ever get this one revelation, that no matter what you're going through, God still loves you. Even when you have no dime to your name, you need to know that God still loves you. When you are divorced, God loves you. When you have a child out of wedlock, God still loves you. When you wind up in prison, and you messed around, you find yourself doing drugs, God is still love. When you are a victim of racial discrimination, and you are a victim of sexual discrimination, and you are a victim of emotional abuse, a victim of psychological abuse, yet God still loves you. My brothers, my sisters, God's love for you is unconditional. Did you hear what I said? God's love for you comes with no string attached. He is not like human beings. Today, they like you. Tomorrow, they hate your guts. But Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. To be honest with you, there is nothing you, me, can do to stop God from loving you. And he knows everything that you've done. He knows everything you and I are doing right now. You know, sometimes we wear clothes to cover things up. We have underwear, outerwear. We even have girdle to pack it. God can see through all that. Even when your smile is funny. Even when your hallelujah is fake. But guess what? God still loves you. Ladies and gentlemen, some of us can testify to that. Because but for the love of God, we would have been dead. But for the love of God, some of us would be in jail right now. The only difference between us and those who are locked up is we will never get caught. The only reason why some of us are still alive is because of the love of God. If all of us are given a chance, there are things that we would love to go back and redo it. And fix it. Even me. So it's only the love of God that has sustained us. But please take note, this love I'm talking about is not free. In order for a holy God to reconcile with a sinful man, there's a price that had to be paid. Are you feeling me this morning? It's a blessing just to know that God loves you. But don't forget that in order for God to redeem us back because we were messed up, our price had to pay. Jesus made the purchase. I was trying to explain a legal concept this morning to the congregation. There's something called redemption. You can lose your property, and then the Lord gives you so much time to go back and redeem your property. So what Jesus did when Adam and Eve lost this precious planet to the devil, Jesus came and redeemed us, and it cost him everything. That is why one day Jesus was talking and he gave a parable that he called the kingdom of God is like a hidden treasure. In that parable, if I may explain what Jesus is saying, it's like a man that was just going around in the countryside. Let's say it's like me going to the city of Colfax. That's kind of country, you know. And then I was planning around with my feet, and I discovered there's some big chest in the ground. And I tried to dig a little bit. Then I found out, I discovered it's full of gold and diamonds and silver and valuable treasure. And I said, oh my God. But I also know in my knowing, in order for me to be able to possess that, I will have to buy the land. Because legally, when you own the land, then you own all the treasure in the land. So what Jesus did, the land has been stolen by the devil. But Jesus knew that there are precious souls on that land. So he had to buy back the land. Can you imagine me coming home and talking to my wife, Elizabeth, and say, baby, I just found a piece of property in Colfax, and I want us to buy it. In my sanctified mind, Elizabeth probably will say, what did you say? Yeah, piece of property in the city of Colfax. In her mind, probably be saying, why will you go and buy property in Colfax? Well, I would say proudly, I say, baby, trust me on this one. It will be a good investment. I'm sure she will ask me, okay, so how much do they want for the property? And I probably will say they want millions and millions and millions of dollars. Now, she probably will say, millions of dollars? In Colfax, Louisiana? Are you out of your mind? And I probably will say, baby, trust me on this one. In my sanctified mind, my wife probably will say, okay, and how do you plan to pay for millions and millions and millions of dollars? And they imagine me responding to her and say, baby, we're going to sell our house. We're going to sell all of our furniture. We're going to sell everything in the house. We're going to sell all of our clothes, including your shoes. You can just imagine the nature of that conversation between husband and wife. Because she is going to think, Adam lost my mind. But knowing my wife, even though she disagreed, she will submit and say, if you have heard from God, I'm going to go with you. And let's suppose we bought that land. We have the title to the property. We got the title deed. And then I say, baby, come with me. And then we go to the city of Caiaphas, and I begin to dig the land. And then we run into gold. And we run into diamonds. We run into silver. All kinds of precious stones. I can just see my wife gasping for air. She will be full of joy. But notice, for us to get that blessing, we have to give up everything. That's what Jesus did for your salvation. That's what Jesus did for my salvation. He gave up everything. That is why we say he went to the cross and lose everything so that we might be redeemed to God. It was at the cross, where I first saw the Lamb. And the burden of my heart was rolled away. It was there. By faith, I received my sight. I don't know about you. I'm happy. I'm happy he died for me. I'm happy he paid the price. I'm happy it cost him everything. I'm happy. It's all about John 3:16. God loves you. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever will believe in him, that person will not perish. That person will have everlasting life. What is the message? I want to tell you, my brothers, my sisters, you need to know, no matter what you're going through right now, God loves you. Amen. And when you receive that revelation, then the devil cannot intimidate you anymore. When you receive that revelation, then you know in your knowing that God's got your back. One time, the people of Israel, you know their story, they were locked up in Egypt land for 432 years, you know. They were slaves. But because God loves them, he brought them out. The same God that brought them out is your God. No matter what you and I are going through right now, we're coming out in Jesus' name. Open your mouth, shout amen. And you would think when they came out, they'd be free because God delivered them. The Bible said, then the devil began to set up stumbling blocks in their face. So whatever you're going through right now, that's the devil trying to reverse the blessing. And you need to know God who started with you will sustain you. The Bible recalls the people of Israel, they have to fight different tribes along the way. But guess what? Everywhere they go, God was granting them victories. They never lost a single battle. So one day they were coming close to a neighborhood owned by the Moabites. And the Moabites have heard that the Israelites were coming. And they have heard that the Israelites were fighting every kingdom along the way. And they were kicking everybody's behind. So the Moabites, they got smart. Guess what they did? They went and hired a preacher, a prophet by the name Balaam. And they said, you know, we got a problem here. The Jews, the Israelites, they're coming. They're going to pass through this neighborhood. They've been kicking everybody's behind along the way. So we need you to go and curse them. And we will pay you whatever you want. See, that's a whole sermon by itself, because not every preacher you see are anointed. Some of them are sellout. This preacher, pastor, was willing to take big money to curse out the people of God. But I got some good news for you. Sometimes on your job, there are people working behind the scene trying to see you fall. Not everybody is happy for you when you are being blessed. I go around, I shake people's hand, I hug them, but I know not all of them are happy for me. While they're smiling in your face, that's right, sister. They want to stab you in the back. Opportunities will come up. They will say, no, don't give it to him. During this trip, I was in Africa when the governor called me. The governor of the state. And I had to tell him. I said, sir, I'm actually not home. That I'm overseas. He said, you got to be kidding. I said, well, everybody need a break. He just appointed me in the board. In my absence. But not when God begins to bless you. Yes. Not everybody will be happy for you. Yes, sir. But you know, this preacher, Balaam, when he was hired and contracted to curse the people of God, the Bible says every time he opened his mouth, instead of cursing, blessings come out. There's a lesson there. This is what the Bible is talking about. If God be for you, who can be against you? You need to know in your knowing that God loves you. And no matter what you're going through, at home, on the job, in the marketplace, anywhere, God's got your back. Eyes have not seen it. Ears have not heard it. It's not been conceived in the hearts of men what God has in stock for you. Think about it. Let me say this and let you go. Open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse number 5. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to ask the question, what is it about these Israelites that even a preacher was contracted to curse them out? But every time he opened his mouth, blessings come out. Is it because they were always holy? No. Is it because they were always righteous? No. Then why is it that nobody could even curse them? The Bible explained it. It said, nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken to Reverend Balaam. What he wanted to do, God would never allow it. But guess what the Lord did? But the Lord thy God will turn the curse into a blessing. You miss a good place to shout. Every time they try to curse you, God will turn it around into a blessing. Every time they try to mock your name, God will turn it around into a blessing. Every time they try to put you down, God will turn it around into a miracle. I came back to America to tell somebody. The only reason why cancer could not take you out is because God loves you. The only reason you went through a divorce and you're still standing is because God loves you. The only reason why your enemies don't have the upper hand, they try to mess with you on your job. They try to mess with you in your business. They try to mess with your health. They try to kill you before your time. The only reason you're still here is because God loves you. Touch somebody right now and say, Jesus loves me. Come on, tell him. Say, Jesus loves me. These I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him he belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. How do I know? For the Bible tells me so. Open your mouth, shout amen.
Amen.
I say shout amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, and you know the Bible say when God loves you, you see, they asked Mr. Balaam. They say, okay, now that this is going on, we ask you to curse them, you won't curse them. Notice what Mr. Balaam, the preacher, said in Numbers 23, verse 20. He said, behold, I received a commandment from God to bless them and not curse them. And guess what else he said? He said, God had blessed them and I cannot do what? There's a lesson there. The blessing of God upon your life is irreversible. Open your mouth, shout amen.
Amen.
Say, the blessing of God upon my life cannot be reversed. I don't care what anybody say about you. I don't care how many times you messed up. When God bless you, you are blessed. When God heal you, you are healed. When God promotes you, you are promoted. No weapon form or fashion against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of God. Open your mind and say, I receive. Stand up right now. I want to pray with somebody. If you are here this morning and you say, Pastor, I get it. God loves me. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to receive that revelation. I'm not going to worry about what I'm dealing with. I'm not going to worry about what I'm facing right now. I serve a God who said in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your cares upon him. You know why? Because he cares. He loves you. So if you're here today and there is any area in your life you want to trust in the hand of God, that you receive that revelation now that he loves me. He has got my back. I want to trust him with this. I want to trust him with this issue. I don't even need to know the issue. You're the one that God sent me to. Find your way to the altar right now.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.
Oh, I don't know why
he cares.
I don't know why. I don't.
find somebody next to you. Hold their hands. It's a blessing just to know that God loves you. What keeps me going every day? I got issues, I got challenges, I got problems just like everybody else. But I just trust God. I just put it all in God's hand. The Bible says he never sleeps, he never slumbers. So I figured if he stays awake, then there's no point for both of us to stay awake. So I'm going to sleep. I'm going to trust him. Pastor Carr, Philip, you preached many years ago and you kept saying, I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. And it just, I receive that. You just come to a point, you just trust. Let him fight your battle. This battle is not yours. It's the Lord. Father God, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for revelation knowledge. Thank you for the opportunity to cast all of our cares, not some of our cares, all of our cares upon you. It's good to know you cared for us. You said while we were yet speaking, you're already working things out. Lord, we'll put all of our cares before this altar today. Individual cares, collective cares, community care, even our nation need the help of Almighty God. Father, we'll put it all in your hands. And by faith we decree and declare all is well. In our home, all is well. On our job, all is well. In our business, all is well. With our health, all is well. With our children, all is well. With our marriage, all is well. We shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We are ordained to bring forth our fruit in our season. And whatsoever we do shall prosper. We take our rightful place right now. And Lord, we thank you for everyone before this altar. We cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. We're not going to worry about a thing. Just to know that you love us. Just to know that your blessing upon our life is irreversible. Just to know that everything the devil meant for evil, you are turning around for our good. We receive that by faith right now. Let your healing flow unhindered, freely, without interruption, in our body, in our home, in our marriage. Let your blessings flow. We praise you. And we thank you for the blessing. It is well. I said it is well. In Jesus' name. Open your mouth, shout amen. Open your mouth, shout amen. Let me try again. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed. We just prayed. But guess what else they did? They praised God. They did praise God like the Baptist. You know, the Baptist will tell you, come to church, be quiet. But no, the Bible said they praised God and the prisoners heard them. You have to praise God to the point that every prisoner in the house can hear you. Open your mouth, shout amen. Open your mouth, shout amen. Let the demons hear your praise. Shout amen. Shout amen. Shout amen. Shout amen. I want to thank you for your willingness to study the Word of God with me today. If you are here today and you're looking for a church home, and you want to be a part of what God is doing right here at Zion Hill, I can guarantee you one thing. This is a place that you will learn. This is a world church. We don't have religion to offer. But people perish for lack of understanding. And so we invite you to prayerfully consider becoming a part of this great ministry. So after the benediction, I want one of the pastors to come in, and one of the deacons, pastor, anybody, come. And after the benediction, my wife and I will be standing here to welcome you to this great church. I believe you will never regret your decision to be a part of this ministry. Amen.
Ourselves a hand. We thank God for the pastor here, and we thank God for each and every one of y'all. Amen. Amen. Now let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we ask you for your blood covering over our life this week, Lord God. Oh, Father God, we ask you to intervene in our life tonight, Lord God. And Father God, we bind the hand of the enemy that come to be a hindrance to us. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, Lord, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for life, health, and strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.